Good Shepherd Mass Choir. Thank you, ladies. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this opportunity to stand and preach the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that not only is your power exhibited, not only is your grace exhibited, but especially that your love is exhibited. With all that's within me and with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up, that lives are challenged, lives are changed, and souls are saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Good evening, good evening, good evening to friends and visitors and members. Today we're going to be dealing in Romans chapter 7, verses 12 through 25. The book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 12 through 25. And while you go there, and we preach from the King James Bible, while you go there, I want you to understand that this passage is kind of like every man's dilemma. As I was working on this message, I thought about a movie that I saw years ago, and the movie was called Deliverance. Deliverance. By the way, the title of our message today will be Deliverance is Available for You. Deliverance is available for you. That's good news. In the movie Deliverance, these men had decided they were going to go take a weekend hiking trip, and everything was planned out, everything was plotted out. They dotted all their I's and they crossed all their T's, and then when they got out into the wilderness to go and have their big fun weekend with just the guys, everything went from bad to worse. It was an absolute nightmare. No matter what they did, no matter what they planned, it just got worse. And when by the time you get to the end of the movie, all these men wanted was to be delivered. Just get me out of this mess. Take this away from me. I know what I planned. I know what I plotted. But just please, just take this, get me out of here. Last couple of weeks, we've been in the book of Romans, and we talked about how we have been freed from sin by Jesus Christ. By his death, burial, and resurrection, we have been set free. We have been absolutely, positively set free. And then the Bible goes on to tell us that depending upon which nature we serve, which master we serve, whoever we yield our members to, that is our master at the time, be it our Savior, or be it the world, or be it Satan. Whichever one it is, whoever we yield our members to, that's it, y'all. And now we get here to verse 12 in chapter 7, and the question has come up about the law. And people ask this frequently about the law, because a lot of places you're taught you're supposed to keep the Ten Commandments, and that you have to live by the law. And that's drilled in you from a very young child. You got to live by the law. You got to live by the law. And then you say, okay, well, but if I'm living by the law, why is my life shipwreck? Why can't I do this if that's what I'm supposed to be doing? And what's wrong? I do my best, and it doesn't add up. As hard as it is to think about it, the Apostle Paul, right here in verses 12 through 25, he shows you that not only is that your struggle, but that's every Christian's struggle. That get up in the morning, put one foot out the bed, put the other foot out the bed, wash your face, comb your hair, get dressed. Okay, and you open the front door. Now I got to go. There's a world out here. There's a world. There's a world out here that I have to deal with. Some people try to run and hide. You can't run and hide from the heathens in this world, y'all. The Bible says, why does the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? He rages because that's what he does. And so you have to go out and you have to deal with them. You have to engage them. And the Bible says to us, which we really don't like, the Bible says to us, you need to tell them about Jesus. Oh. Okay, Lord. Let me see, what does Paul say about this situation? Chapter 7, the book of Romans, starting with verse 12, in the King James Bible, it reads, wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold. I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Let's talk about deliverance is available to you. First thing we're going to talk about is the quandary. The quandary, or the dilemma, the mess that we find ourselves in. The Apostle Paul is—he's crying out, and he's saying to us, it almost sounds like a riddle, but he's saying something's really wrong here, y'all. Something is really radically wrong. I want to do right, and I can't do right. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. What's going on here? I'm saved. I'm bought with the blood of the Lamb. Jesus paid the price. I just read that in the earlier part of Romans. I have been bought with a price. I have been signed, sealed, delivered, sanctified. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. You can't take that away from me. But what in the world is going on inside of me every day that makes this journey so difficult? Why is there divorce in Christian homes? Why is there drug abuse in Christian homes? Why is there adultery in Christian homes? Why is there slander and gossip in Christian homes? I mean, I'm talking about folks who are saved, y'all. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's what Paul is saying here. He said, what is going on? Is it Is it me? Is it the Ten Commandments? Is it God's law? What is going on? And not only what is going on, who can get me out of this? Because this is obviously not what God wanted. This is not what he intended. Who can get me out of this? When we talk about the quandary, that's a dilemma. That's a problem. That's something that's really perplexing, something that you gotta try to wrap your mind around it. In verses 12 through 14, it reads, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good." So when we talk about the law, we're talking about the principles that God has given us. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about not only the Ten Commandments, but all the principles that God has given to mankind. Right here it says, it's holy. God's word is holy. So if there's a problem, it can't be with God's word. The law is holy. The commandments are holy. And they're just. That means they're righteous. And they're good. Was then that, verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? Am I a lousy person? Am I living a horrible life because of the law, because of God's Ten Commandments? Is that the problem? Is it the Ten Commandments? Is that what my trouble is? The answer is a resounding, God forbid. Because we know that the Bible says that the commandments will lead you unto death. But why do the commandments lead us unto death? Because nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. Nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. So if you can't keep the Ten Commandments, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death, then maybe God's guilty of giving us something that we just absolutely, positively can't do, and it's the fault of the commandments. Maybe that's what it is, because surely, I mean, I don't know if you've tried, but try keeping them. Try keeping them. Good luck with that. And the Bible says if you fail on one, you've broken all. Try it. But if I'm dying because the wages of sin is death, and I see that in the Ten Commandments, but then the apostle says that the law is holy, the commandment is holy, it's just, it's good, and it's obviously not made death unto me, but what the purpose of the Ten Commandments were, is he says right here, not were, are, but in verse 13, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. This is some of the stuff when Peter writes in his scripture, when he says, Paul writes some stuff that's hard to wrap your mind around. He said, wait a minute. So the commandments are good, and so there is another overlying problem, and that problem appears to be this thing called sin. Well, can I put my finger on sin? Can I give you a flat definition of sin? I wish I could, but I can't, because the Bible refers to sin as the mystery of iniquity. Sin is bad thoughts, bad words, bad deeds, anything. It's an abstract, but it's also a personified abstract. Anything that breaks the heart of God and causes separation between God and man. That's sin. Anything. It could be any number of things. It could be a longing glance. It can be a bad thought. It can be any number of things. So don't try to say, you know, this is this. It's any number of things. It's really a mystery. He says, but what you can do is when God gave us the commandments and his law, he gave us the law so that we could recognize it. We can recognize it when we see it. Paul said, he said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, I was a Pharisee. I was more zealous than any of my brothers. And he said, and man, I had it going on. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I went to Hebrew college. I got it. I got this. He said, but it wasn't until I looked, really looked at the commandments, and I saw that word covetous. Paul said, oh, my goodness, covetous. That means an exceeding lust for something that you, it's not yours. Usually belongs to somebody else. And Paul said, that's when I found out I wasn't as good as I thought. He said, but had it not been for the commandments, I was easily able to go around and point out everybody else's faults. But when I finally looked at the commandments, I went, oh my goodness, I'm guilty. See, that's the purpose. That's what the Bible tells us, the purpose of the commandments, so that when sin is present, you can recognize it, because sin, not only is it present, but it's working. It says, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. God gave us the commandments, and he gives us his principles, so that when sin creeps into our lives, we are able to spot it and thereby do something about it. But in the commandments, there's no provision for fixing it. It just says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt. But how do I fix it? There's no provision in the commandments for fixing the situation. In fact, the commandments are given so that everybody here might cry out, I need some help from God. I need, just like those boys in the movie Deliverance, everybody here should be saying, I just want to get out of this mess. I need somebody to get me out of this. Because I'm trying, nobody in here who is saved, or I'll say very few people, but I could say very few people. Your life is not shipwrecked because of lack of trying. It's not that you just woke up one day and said, you know what, I just want to ruin my whole life. I'm going to make some decisions today that are going to cost me my family, cost me my job, cost me my health. Yep, that's what I'm going to do today. No. But there's something that's working death inside of us. And it's that something, that abstract something, it's called sin. When you think of something abstract, I think most abstract paintings have had their heyday. I think most abstract paintings had their heyday when people were doing a lot more drugs than they are today. Just an observation. But me and my friends, I'd be hanging out with the guys, and we'd look at something on the wall, and oh man, look at that, man, that's cool. It was garbage. It wasn't a painting. It was junk. But. Each person saw it as something different. When I'm telling you about sin, it's abstract. What is exceeding sinful to me in my life, you might look at it and say, come on, man. You can't overcome that. You mean that's got you bound up? You mean you're the town gossip and all you got to do is shut up and you can't do that? But then that person might look back at you and say, wait a minute, you've been married 25 years, you got a wonderful wife, you got wonderful kids, and you out here 55 years old chasing after some 25-year-old girl? What's wrong with you, man? But he can see the problem in you, but he can't see the problem in himself. Because that's what sin does. It works death, and sin is an equal opportunity employer, y'all. It goes after everybody all the time. Verse 14. He says, for we know, because he's talking about this issue of sin, he's trying to get us straight that it's not the law, it's not God's commands that are the problems. He wants us to understand that. In verse 14, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Boy, that word sin just keeps popping up. When you're trying to figure out something that's spiritual, something that's in the scripture, when you're trying to get answers for things that are in the scripture, start with this. Start with what you already know. Don't give up on what you already know to try to make it, what's the word, float with what you think might be. For example, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that. And I know that because Jesus said it and he shed his blood so that I might have everlasting life. I know that to be a fact. But there's some other things in the scriptures that say work out your salvation. It says endure to the end. I might have to scratch my head on some of those. But I start with what I know. And I don't back off on what I know to be true. And I know that the blood of the Lamb, it takes away, it doesn't just cover, it takes away the sins of the world. He says, I know that the law is spiritual. That means I know that the law is spiritual, it's good, it's from God, it's a divine ordained from God, and it's given to us because it is spiritual. But I, on the other hand, and when he's talking about I, he's not talking about this. He's talking about what dwells inside of our flesh. There's a nature inside of us that is carnal, fleshy, meat, low, not very much affected by the things of God, actually not really affected by the things of God. There's something that's in us. It's not our flesh, but as you'll see a little bit later, he says, it dwells in our flesh. Again, it's kind of an abstract thought. It's sin, and it's bad thoughts, bad words, bad deeds, things that breaks our relationship with God. It's just in us. It's just in us. And Paul is telling us, he starts in verse 15. He says, I've told you this principle of sin. I've told you that it's in you. I've told you that this principle of sin is something that you can't really, that's it. Thank you, Lord. Sin, I love it when I get some of these illustrations. They just tickle me. I haven't played this game in a long time, but it's the alligator game. You know, where they got them, you got this big old hammer, and they got these alligators, and their heads pop up. And every time the head pops up, you wham, knock it down. And another one pops up. Wham, you knock it down. That's what sin is like in our lives. I got this one. Ooh, I've conquered this. Bam. Here comes a different sin. One that you weren't even looking for. A temptation, a lust, a weakness. Something that you didn't have any clue was coming. And get blindsided just right by it. Paul says, here's what we do. He said, I'm going to elucidate this dilemma. I'm trying to put some light on this dilemma so that you can get a real understanding of Paul saying where he's at. And if Paul's saying if that's where he's at, I want y'all to understand this is where every Christian at some point in time in the course of our Christian walk, this is a daily dilemma for the saints of God. Verses 15 through 23. And it reads like a riddle, but follow me because it's very important. For that which I do, Romans 7:15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. By the way, when you see this word I, especially in these next few verses, don't forget, I put the I in sin. We're very close together. We're very closely related. I and sin. And I want you to take note how many times he says I. And when he's talking about I, he's talking about that base nature. He's talking about that carnal nature. He's talking about that nature for which Jesus went to the cross to rid us of, to overcome. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. I don't want to do the things that I'm doing. I don't want to keep lying to people. I'm tired of being called a liar. And for what I would do, that I do not. I want to be a better father. And I've read the books. I got the t-shirt. I went to the conference. But I don't do it. I don't do it. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. The very fact that I don't do what I want to do, and I do the things that I don't want to do, that very fact illuminates God's law and his principle as righteous. The problem is not God's word and God's righteousness. The problem is me. That nature in me that says, I want to get better. I'm striving to get better. I'm working really hard, and I'm just not getting there. He says, but these things, this mindset, this understanding lets me know I have to say amen to the law. I have to say amen to God's word. I have to say, you know, the Ten Commandments are righteous. It's not unfair for God to tell me not to steal, not to cheat, not to lie. That's righteous. Or am I supposed to say to God, I'm only human? No, it's righteous. So there is a problem and there's a dilemma here. And Paul's telling you, he's clarifying it. He's making it clear that this is the problem. Verse 17. Now then, okay, I've explained to you what I do, what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. He goes, now, then, it is no longer, I'm zeroing in on what this problem is. It's no longer, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin, that abstract, that personified, that something, that it's just in me. And he says, it dwells in me. For I know, in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. It's not the flesh that's no good. It's what dwells in the flesh that is no good. And that is our sin nature. It's in us, brothers and sisters. You can't deny it, because every day when you wake up and you turn on that TV and your thoughts run rampant, your mind goes this, or somebody cuts you off on the freeway, that's sin. And it jumps out your mouth before you even get a chance to stop it. And you didn't want to. You didn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to start giving people sign language out on the freeway. You didn't do that. But there you find yourself. And the Apostle Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I desire, when he says is present with me, that means the desire to do good. Think of it like this. Those cartoons that they used to have when I was a kid many, many moons ago. You'd have a good angel on this side. And you'd have good Willie over here and bad Willie over here. Bad Willie was always ready to speak up. He was always ready to show up. Good Willie, sometimes he was kind of, you know, he was a little bit more laid back, a little bit more easygoing. He says, for to will is present with me, to do right, to serve God, to treat my fellow men the way I'm supposed to treat them. That's ever present over here with good willing. But how to perform that which is good, I can't find it. I can't find it. It's like being totally inebriated and you're trying to find the door and you can't find the door. You know there's a door on the building somewhere and you can't get out the door. You're in a smoke-filled room and you know there's a way out, but I can't find it. And Paul is saying, this is what I feel like every day of my life. I want to find a way. I know, because I get phone calls from people calling me up saying, I need help. I don't want to live like this anymore. I had a brother working with me, and we're sitting there, we're talking, and he's saying to me, he's 35 years old, and he was working for me, working construction. He had never worked a job in his life. Never worked a job in his life. Because he was a handsome brother. This boy looked good. This boy looked good. 35 years old, he could have been on a Marlboro commercial. He could have been a Calvin Klein. He could have been any of that stuff. And you know what? You know why he never worked a day? Because women always took care of him. Women always took care of him. They said, you ain't got to work. I'll take care of you. And I'm sitting there, I'm talking to him. We're talking about the Bible and stuff. Because his mama raised him right. His mama raised him, right? And we're just working, and I'm just talking to him. And all of a sudden, I hear sniffling. I hear crying. I'm like, what's going on? And I look over to the side, and he's over there. Now, I'm paying this joker to be my helper, and he's laid up on the ladder, just boo-hooing like a baby, just snotting and slobbering. And what's wrong with you? And I didn't understand. I've been blessed, y'all. My life has been blessed. I've got some issues, but my life has been blessed. And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking to myself, this boy looked at me, he said, I can't go on like this. He said, I can't live like this. He said, I can't live. I said, wait a minute. You look better than any man I ever seen in my life. You ain't got to work. Women take care of you all day, every day. What's the problem? He said, I can't live like this because this is wrong. He knew within him that there was something wrong. He knew within him that sin had taken over his life and there was something wrong. Everybody out here has got something going on in their life. Everybody. Me included, everybody. And you're saying, how am I going to get out of it? What's going to deliver me? I got good Willie over here and I got bad Willie over there. What am I going to do? Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. This is almost a repetition of the few verses back when he's saying, I do good, I don't do good, I don't want to do good. He goes, now if I do that, verse 20, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's that principle, y'all. There's that evil. There is that abstract bad thoughts, bad words, bad deeds, things that I do to break God's heart. Now, he's not disavowing responsibility. He's not saying the devil made me do it. He's just giving us an understanding. He's trying to give us an explanation of something that was truly abstract, something that will truly, that you're trying to put your finger on it. He's saying, since good Willie, since it's present with you to do good, and you end up not being able to do good, he goes, there is something, there's an underlying principle that's driving you, that's moving in your members, and you have to understand that. It's called sin, and it dwells in me. It is not my flesh, but it dwells in my flesh. And then Paul says, he's getting ready to give you three laws. And when we're talking about these three laws, we're talking about principles. We're talking about things that, we're talking about standards that are fixed, things that don't change. The first principle in verse 21, he says, I find then a law or a principle that when I would do good, evil is present with me. This is called the law of sin. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, close by. Now, here's a picture. Bad Willie, over here. Present, that means close by. That means right, ever present. So you have the law of sin, which tells you that that something, that sin nature, is always present. Verse 22, here's the second principle. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's good Willie on the other side. Bad Willie is present. Good Willie is always present. In the inward man, that's my new nature. When Jesus went to the cross for me, and when I said I believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for my sins, the Bible says, bam, right now, right here, you're a brand new creature in God, a brand new creature in Christ. You have been saved, and now you will be sanctified. You will grow. Salvation is an instantaneous thing. Sanctification is a lifetime process, y'all. And that's what Paul is talking about here, this lifetime process. He says, I have an inward man who seeks out and joys and loves the things of God. I do want to be a better husband. I do want to be a better father. I do want to be a better citizen. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better teacher. I want to do everything better because Christ is better, and I serve Christ. But I got to understand, there's another law, there's another principle working inside of me, and he's working inside of you, and that's the law of sin. And when he says here in verse 21, the law of sin is ever present. That's the first law. I delight in the law of God. That's the second law. But here's the catch. It's in verse 23. He says, but I see another law. It's not the law of God. It's not the law of sin. He said, I see another law in my members. And look here, this law is not dormant. This law is not static. This law is kinetic. This law moves. This law is warring. Just like those cartoons. Bad Willie, Good Willie. But while Good Willie is over here, he's just here, Bad Willie is coming after him with a club. And it says that it's warring against my members, the law of my mind. It's warring against the law of my mind. He's saying, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2:26. 2 Timothy 2:26. And it reads, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I'll read it again. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When he says taken captive, he means taken captive alive. See, the devil can't have you dead because you belong to Jesus Christ. But while you're living, whomever you yield your members to, that's who is your master. And he says that this third law, this third principle is there, and This third principle is warring. I mean, it's a military maneuver. This third principle is coming at you, trying to. Not, you aren't accidentally being a lousy daddy. You aren't accidentally being the town gossip. You aren't accidentally being a sluggard. There is something inside of you that's saying, this is what you're going to do. And I'm going, it's a military, the word that's used is a military operation. Everybody done heard of SEAL Team 6. Those are the guys, those are the heroes of America who've gone out and they fight and they shed their blood so that we might have freedoms. I want you to think of this as SEAL Team 666. These are the ones who are warring inside of your members. These are the ones that are giving you those bad thoughts, those bad words, those bad deeds. It's not static. It's kinetic. There's an active energy inside of each and every saint in here that is determined to bring you down, to take you into captivity. Satan can only, he can take you into captivity alive. Don't let anybody tell you Satan can't bind you up. He can mess you up, take you into captivity only while you're alive, because you're already bought. You purchased with the blood of the Lamb. You can't lose your salvation, but you can most assuredly wreck your life right here, right now. You can shipwreck everything that God has brought worthwhile into your life, and it takes you a second to do it. He said that third law in verse 23, he's warring against the law of my mind. He's saying, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That third law has but one purpose: to get inside your head. To get inside your head. And to bring you down. Because in the devil's eyesight, if I can't have your soul, I will take your testimony. And just look around, brothers and sisters. Just look around. Look at your own families. Look, and don't be too critical on them, because if we ain't careful, there but for the grace of God, we could end up just like them. He says that this law is coming against my mind. And that's why the Bible says to us as Christians, renew your mind. Change your way of thinking. Change the movies you watch. Change the books you read. Change the people you hang out with. Change the way you talk. Allow God to renew your mind. There once was a time when we were young. I look at my grandbabies and I see them. They run around, ain't got a care in the world. Because life is beautiful. God can bring that beauty back into your life. You're sitting there, you're thinking, no, Pastor, you just don't know how bad my life is. You don't know how far and how deep in sin I am. You're right, I don't. But I know somebody who does. And he's a friend of mine. And he told me that if anybody, he said, whosoever. I said, Lord, what does that mean? He said, can't you read, boy? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, I came to seek and to save. He said, that's what I came for. Why do we sell God short? When things, we think that when after we get saved, he's through with it. He said, no, he said, I'm going to work while there's day. He said, my Father works and I work. He goes, because I got people who got to navigate a world that's designed to tear them down. Allow God, saints, please, allow God to renew your mind. And when you let him renew your mind, that third nature, that one that's warring, all the time warring, what comes into play is the scripture that says, reckon yourself to be dead. What? Paul said, when I'm doing all that sinning, it ain't I. It's sin that dwells within me. It's that sin nature that's in me. That's the problem. So Paul says, the scripture says, what we need to do with that sin nature is reckon that sin nature to be dead. Now, he's going to be present, but he doesn't have to be active in our lives. We have the ability to deal with him. I'm going to get to that. Verse 23, I repeat, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. The devil trying to bring you in live. He's going to bring you in a captivity live. But Jesus came to set the captives free, y'all. Don't y'all forget that. Jesus came to set the captives free, y'all. But let me, I'm going to try. Jesus came to set the captives free, y'all. I don't think you want to stay bound up. I'm just going to give you a little illustration about Paul and Silas. I'm hoping this will help somebody out here. Paul and Silas literally got thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. They preached Jesus Christ, and they literally got thrown in jail. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says at midnight, a whole lot of strange things happened at midnight. Here's what happened at midnight. The Bible says that they prayed and they sang. And here's a part that I didn't notice while I was studying for this. It says, and the other prisoners heard them. They were in jail. And the man said, not only do I want you to lock them up, but I want you to put shackles on their feet, make sure they don't go anywhere. And the Bible says that they prayed. And they sang, and the other prisoners heard them. And the Bible says at midnight, the shackles fell off, the doors popped open, and they were set free. They were no more captive. Just like how I tell you that Satan is trying to keep your mind captive. That said that the shackles fell off of their feet, and the doors flung open, and they were free men. But look at what happened in the scriptures, y'all. The Bible says that the jailer woke up and he saw that the doors were open and he supposed that everybody had taken off. But the Bible says that Paul and Silas said, wait a minute, we're still here. Don't hurt yourself. We're still here. Here's my point. When you're going through some stuff, when you have that war going on inside of your heart, inside of your head, and the devil's trying to get in your mind, sometimes that trial, sometimes that tribulation is not necessarily for you. Maybe, you hear what it said? And the other prisoners heard him. Maybe it's for somebody that God has placed in your path who needs to know the power of the deliverance of God. Don't get so caught up on, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. There are some folks around you who are lost as a goose in a snowstorm. They don't know nothing about Jesus. They don't know nothing about God. And they're watching you. And all you're doing is whining and whining and whining. About, I ain't got this and I ain't got that. I can't get this and I can't get that. And they're saying, I don't need that, Jesus. If that's what you got, keep it. They need to see some Holy Ghost deliverance in our lives. And if you don't have it, if you haven't experienced it yet, I want you to know deliverance is available to you. He says, verse 24, oh, wretched man am I.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? When he says, wretched man am I, he's saying everything is just bubbling up. He's looking at all of his situations, all of his circumstances, the daily walk. And he said, I think the common vernacular, in fact, I know the common vernacular today because I get the phone calls all the time. Pastor, I'm going through. Pastor, I'm going through. Here's what the Bible say. If you find yourself going through, keep going. Keep going till you get out. Don't set up a house there. Don't set up a dwelling place there. Don't just sit there and sulk and sorrow. Keep going. Because he says, oh, wretched man am I, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Ephesians 4:23 says to us, let God renew your mind, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, he says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you have those wars, when you have that wars, that sin battling you, that sin nature battling you, when you want to serve the law of God, and you have that war going, I want you to know you got the victory. We used to sing it in high school. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory is our battle cry. Amen. If I could get me a Christian cheerleading squad, we even do a little pom-pom. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory. We sing it, victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Victory at the cross. I got the victory. So why am I walking around like I'm in the loser's locker room? I've been in the loser's locker room. Everybody's sulking and sour. Anybody got no joy? We are the victors, y'all. We are the victors. He goes, I thank God, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself, that's different from I. Because when he's talking about I, don't forget he's talking about the sin nature, I. But when he says I myself, he's talking about the real essence of who he is. I myself, I serve. I have made myself a servant. I'm a slave. I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. The way you got to be a bondservant in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, the Bible tells you that when the master, when people would serve like 7 years or whatever time they're going to serve, and when the time was up, they would go to their master and they say, can I get my papers to be set free? And the master would say, here's your papers. You're set free. You can go free. It's a done deal. You've served your time. And then the Bible says, but some servants, they would look outside and they see what was outside waiting for them. And they look back at their master and they saw how good their master had been to them. And they said, you know what? I want to voluntarily serve you forever. I want to be your bond servant. And the Bible says that what they do is they take the ear. The master would take the ear of his servant and he put it up against the door. And he'd take an awl, which is like a very sharp pointed metal piece, and he'd poke a hole in it, and then he put his mark on him, and he said, now you belong to me. Don't y'all know that we get the opportunity to go before our Savior and say, Lord, you've been so good to me. I just want to serve you. Here, take my ear and nail my ear to the door. I want to be your free bond servant. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus is the anointed one of God. He's the Messiah that's promised, and he's also our Lord. When somebody is your Lord, brothers and sisters, that means he tells us what to do. That means he tells us how to live. That means we yield our members to him and him alone. And he says,
So then with the mind, myself, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, in the midst of all these problems, in the midst of everything that's going on in your life, deliverance is available to you. And that deliverance is available through Jesus Christ, because God has a special delivery program. I looked it up. I looked up and said, what does it mean to be special delivery? According to the United States Post Office, here's what it means to be special delivery. Delivery of mail outside of the regularly scheduled hours by a special messenger upon the payment of an extra fee. Brothers and sisters, we've been delivered through a special delivery. We've been delivered because in the fullness of time, when we were at the end of our rope, when we had nobody and nothing, and we had a debt we could not pay, the Bible says that God sent his son, his only begotten son, in whom he was well pleased, and he sent his son with a message to everybody here, to everybody on this earth. He says to everybody, man, woman, boy, girl, black, white, whatever your race is, whatever your money is, whatever your culture, he says to everybody, here's the message. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. And when that takes place, you have victory. You don't have to lose. You're no longer a loser. You got victory in Jesus. And he will deliver you. God bless you. God keep you.